This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1949. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded September 24th, Algeria, Argentina, Australia, Bhutan, Brazil, China, Colombia, Denmark, Europe, Germany, Hawaii, India, Indonesia, Japan, Korea North, Korea South, Myanmar, Nepal, North America, Papua New Guinea, Romania, South Africa, Switzerland, UK, USA, Zambia, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. First, some medium wave DX. Brian Clark in New Zealand says, "It is many years since I have heard 9 kilohertz signals in our local evening when darkness spreads across the Pacific, meaning long path from Europe or North Africa. There has been a carrier trace on 1422 kilohertz in our early evening for some weeks, but audio absent. So it was a big thrill on 17 September to hear the Quran on 1422 between 0515 and 535 UT, meaning I was almost certainly hearing Algeria, sunrise in Algiers at 0531. Not an easy reception, but he attached an audio clip for me to hear. Congratulations, Brian Clark, on that medium wave DX just about as far as it can be from the other side of the world. And this Algerian frequency is not one of the superpower stations either. It's listed as only 50 kilowatts. Here's another medium wave frequency to keep an ear on. Tim Tromp in Michigan has been hearing something on 1709.83 kilohertz with his antenna pointed due south. It so happens that there is an Argentine station which has been measured on exactly that offset frequency, Radio Selva. He reports in IRCA that the carrier was pretty strong at his local sunset, fading in and out rapidly, but so far unable to dredge up any audio to confirm it was Radio Selva, which does have a web stream available. Radio Australia's Wicked Witch is gone, says Brian Powell in Sydney, the person credited with the demise of Radio Australia. ABC sacks Michelle Guthrie as managing director, says a story, September 24th at 9news.com. ABC chairman Justin Milne informed staff of her sudden exit in a message to staff. The decision follows discussions with directors and Ms. Guthrie over a several-month period. Milne said, "We are firmly of the view that this decision is in the best interest of the organization." ABC executive David Anderson has been appointed acting managing director. Then Tim Gaynor of Unique Radio forwards a roundup of ABC employees saying how glad they are that she is gone. Ron Howard in California reports positive reception of an extended broadcast from BBS Bhutan 6035 on September 19th, heard past 1245 UT. And in fact, it was on the air much later. Pradeep Kundu in India reported it's still going at 1438 with a phone-in program. Listening via the remote receiver in Holland, Jorge Freitas in Brazil was hearing on 6035 as early as 2015 some international pop music, and then at 2130 Asian music, suspected of being BBS Bhutan. Ivo Ivanov says, yes, that's what it is. Although there is also registration for Bulgaria, possibly using that frequency. On Hardcore DX, Daniel Winans in Brazil mentions a couple of frequencies where there have been some extremely low-power Brazilian pirates you might want to keep an ear on. 7676, Radio Pink Panther in Araraquara, São Paulo. And 9925, Rádio Serra do Roncador in his town of Nova Chavantina, Mato Grosso. I just mentioned Bhutan on 6035 on an extended schedule. Usually it has co-channel interference from PBS Yunnan China relaying a station called FM 99. However, Ron Howard in California says on September 24th, that frequency from Yunnan was clearly off the air as well as another program of theirs on 7210. Mauno Richla in Finland agrees they were off, but says maybe it was just for Monday maintenance. The last two Colombian shortwave stations had not been heard for several weeks. So in Shortwave Bulletin, Manuel Mendez in Spain reports what he found out about the situation. There are, of course, the sibling stations, Al Caravan Radio 5910 and La Voz de Tu Conciencia 6010. They had been quite irregularly, but now for about 2 months, both have been completely silent, so in danger of closure. I contacted the Colombian colleague, Rafael Rodriguez, the QSL manager for them, and he responded with these details in translation. There have been constant problems with the power supply in the area where the transmitters are located, causing significant damage, especially to the 6010 transmitter, equipment which had been in use for decades. 5910 was on the air at reduced times, but it also suffered damage. They were off the air for more than a month. With great economic effort, the process has been started to obtain the necessary spare parts. However, last weekend, copper was stolen from the transmission lines, antennas, radials, and other elements of the system. And the strong winter storm affected the area of Puerto Lleras, causing several landslides and the loss of a bridge that communicates the area where the transmitters are located. He says, I want to be optimistic and think that before the end of the year, the stations can be on the air again because the organization keeps intact its long-term objectives with the shortwave stations. But for now, they're going through a very complex situation. Mike Cooper forwards a story from Sputnik News in Russia. A Danish broadcaster told to scrap promotion of integration and focus on Christianity. The Danish Broadcasting Corporation has signed a new contract with the government, which has been largely influenced by the anti-immigration Danish People's Party. The fresh edition no longer defines the broadcaster's mission as being focused on the promotion of integration, but rather is centered on Denmark's democracy and Christian roots. It marks a significant shift in programming policy from multiculturalism to somewhat more conservative values. In the British DS Club, Alan Pennington has news about Charleston Radio International, which must be a pirate in Europe. It resumed broadcasts on 5140 September 15th. Schedule, according to their FB page, is 17 to 2130 UT. Format of old-time 1930s and 40s records. He had a good signal at 19 UT. Ian Kelly in Reading replies, I've only heard them at weekends. They take a break during the summer. Run by a guy called Harry. The format is vintage jazz and Charleston music, of course. Via BCDX, Ruman Pankov in Bulgaria reports, harmonics heard from the now in sight in eastern Germany of MBR. These are regularly observed and confirmed with different receivers and antennas. 12330, parallel 6165 on its double, during the NHK Radio Japan Russian broadcast at 0430 to 0500. Also, the Sunday only 0445 to 0515 Day of Decision Ministry program in English, heard on 19100, 2 times 9550, and there could be others. Last week, we had a report from Ron Howard that All India Radio Jaipur had been off the air from 5040, but he says it was back again after being silent for a while, September 20th at 12:42. Another Indonesian shortwave station has reactivated. Daniel Williams in Brazil forwards something from YouTube about 3345 RRI Ternate. It was a very poor quality recording, but maybe it was in Indonesian. But there's more news about this. Ron Howard in California says, good news. Hiroyuki Kamatsubara in Japan on September 19th reports the reactivated RRI Ternate on 3344.86 and confirmed by Mauno Ritola WRTH. And he was using a Jakarta remote receiver, which sounded like it was parallel with the Ternate web stream. It ended at 1501 UT. And Ron Howard reports it this way. The next day, September 20th, RRI Ternate presumed 1208 to 1235. Started with a fluttery carrier. By 1215, some faint audio with announcers. No steady audio. Listening carefully for the patriotic song, ending the Jakarta news ray, but unable to hear it. Overall, very poor. Definite station here, if they stay on the air through December, then maybe a chance for much better reception. Again, note the exact frequency, which would be a giveaway, 3344.86. With the equinox, it's the season for trans-Pacific medium-wave DX reception, such as from Japan to Oklahoma. September 21st at 12 UT, I could hear the top of our prolonged time signal chime from NHK2 in Akita, Japan on 774 kilohertz. It's 500 kilowatts, which helps a lot. Even though it's on the northwest coast of Honshu, the number one medium-wave trans-Pacific signal here. And it's also heard, along with several others, by my neighbor Richard N. Allen, who has more antenna gain and gets more audio from the superpower NHKs, among others. Ivo Ivanov, observer in Bulgaria, reports a frequency change for one of the Seabreeze transmissions of JSR in Japan concerning North Korean abductions. The one at 16 to 17 UT has moved from 7215 to 6090, including English normally on Thursdays only. So this may also presage more frequency changes for their other broadcasts, such as the one at 13 to 14. Jorge Freitas in Brazil was hearing a very weak signal in English before and after 20 UT, September 21st, on 9785. Nothing listed, but he had a recording, and after listening to it carefully, several of us decided, yes, indeed, it is KBS World Radio, South Korea. They are listed for an English broadcast on 9785 at 14 to 17 UT, but even on their own website, there's nothing about English at these hours. Something new. Thanks to Ron Howard and Alan Rowe for help in identifying it. And Georgie follows up. He was hearing it again 2 days later on September 23rd. So it would not be an operator error, but a deliberate new transmission. Ron Howard reports, Myanmar Radio 5985 with the Monday edition of Say It in English Language Lesson, September 17th at 1215 until 1228. Following up last week's big news about Radio Nepal reactivated on shortwave 5005, Ron Howard says on September 18th there was no carrier to be heard after 11 UT, so they may have been testing erratically, supposedly on the air until 11:15. They were clearly off before then. Also, according to Pradeep Kundu at WRTH-FB in India. During a routine band scan, I fortunately slipped below 11,500, September 23rd at 18:10. Finding an AM signal on 11490, recognized immediately as station YHWH, the Antichrist pirate with his usual rants. It was gone by 1846. Andy Robbins in Michigan was also hearing it, but not as well. He says it went off at 1827. By the way, he's Andy Robbins, not Robbins' son, as I misspoke last week. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 1949. A non-commercial program also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, and the non-commercial publication, DX Listening Digest. Many thanks this week for financial support from Gerald T. Pollard, who despite bad weather in North Carolina sent his quarterly seasonal support for the equinox, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK. 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Manuel Mendez in Spain reports, according to email received from One Talk Radio Light, in Papua New Guinea, they'll be on the air again October 6th. They say we will resume our shortwave broadcast then. Please tune in to pick up One Talk Radio Light on 7325. We would appreciate your confirmation after that date, says Billy Yassi, Y-A-S-I, the general manager. They've also been on FM 93.9 and 105.9, and live streaming. It's the Papua New Guinea Christian Broadcasting Network in Port Moresby. I reply, during all their time off, did they ever turn on a radio to check what else was on 7325 and maybe come back on a better frequency? Currently, there's China Radio International for 11 hours a day, also India until 0930. Ron Howard in California says on September 18th, a pre-activation check for WRL. Yes, China came on suddenly at 0957 with a very strong signal and into Japanese. Here in California, One Talk Radio Light will need monitoring before 0957, which was also the case in the past. Their former frequency was 7324.95. We may not have heard of him, but Hans-Jürg Biener forwards a nice obituary for Noel Bernard, a legend of Romanian journalism. It comes from the website of Radio Romania International. But Bernard was with Radio Free Europe. A legend of Romanian journalism, few names between 1945 and 89 hold more prestige than the name. Noel Bernard. You can read the whole thing in the new issue of DX Listening Digest when published via worldofradio.com, number 18-39. Another long story you may want to read in full is about South Africa via Mike Cooper. It's from Daily Maverick. Headline, SABC Job Cuts, Lest We Forget. The ANC fiddled while Hlaudi was burning the national broadcaster. The insistence by ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule, as well as Minister of Communications Nomvula Mokonyane, that the financially hobbled SABC hold back on job cuts is beyond satire. For around two decades, the governing party, through various ministers of communications, non-existent parliamentary oversight, and a board stacked with sweetheart chairs and members, aided and abetted gross mismanagement and flouting of laws of good governance at the public broadcaster. Recently, there was a report of DRM noise being heard on the strange frequency of 4770. Now via BCDX, we have news about where it came from Patrick Robich in Austria, via Daniel Keller, Germany, in the ADX news group. It was reading DRM Service A, and it, according to the DRM RX forum, it was a test broadcast from Switzerland by Ampegon, the transmitter manufacturer, trying out 10 kilohertz bandwidth, and later only 5 kilohertz, including data. Gerald T. Pollard forwards an obituary from the Times for Dennis Norden. Subheadlined, avuncular TV host and comedy scriptwriter, known for his elaborate wordplay, dreadful singing, and long collaboration with Frank Muir. Yes, it seems he was best known in Britain for his TV work, but we remember both of them from long ago on the BBC World Service Radio programs My Word and My Music. On September 22nd, Art Delibere in Maryland posted an alarming note on Hardcore DX. Is WWV testing us? They've been broadcasting an outdated propagation report for several days, giving solar flux as of September 18th and KNX as of September 19th. This may be a test to see if anyone is listening, and if not, they'll shut it down. We've had similar tests from other shortwave services prior to shutting down, notably Radio Australia, a couple of years ago went off the air briefly, allegedly for transmitter maintenance. The response from listeners was not strong enough, and they used that as evidence to shut down permanently. The propagation reports go out at 18 minutes past every hour on WWV. People were urged to contact NIST about this anomaly. And it continued, apparently, through September 23rd. But on the 24th, they had finally caught up to the present day when I checked at 1718 UT. And already the previous day, I checked WWVH, which does the same propagation report, at 45 minutes past each hour, and found they were already running current information. And maybe had been during this entire period, not sure, while WWV was stuck in the past. As for the much larger threat against the very existence of WWE, Terry Kruger and Mike Cooper forward a story from the local newspaper, the Fort Collins Coloradoan, about WWE's budget cuts could mean radio silence for those stations. Among other things, it mentions that the petition drive at the White House fell far short of the 100,000 replies required to get the attention of acting President Trump. There were only 20,000 signatures by the deadline. FCC urged to review high-frequency broadcasting rules. You can read all about it at his website, www.kobb.us/filing.html. But meanwhile, he provides an FAQ about this action. On August 27th, three commenters, the high-frequency parties, filed a comment on the FCC public notice on audio programming. We do not represent any organization or corporation, just ourselves. Bennett Z. Cobb, AK4AV, and Kim Elliott, KD9XB of Arlington, Virginia, and Christopher Rumbaugh, K6FIB of Salem, Oregon. Kim blogs on international media and is the producer of Shortwave Radiogram. Christopher publishes the DRM North America website. On July 23rd, the FCC issued this public notice asking for comments on competition and entry into the market for audio programming and AM/FM radio and other media, and about any regulatory impediments to the business. The public notice concerns audio programming. Shortwave stations deliver audio programming. We think the FCC should use this opportunity to review and update the HF rules. Most U.S. private HF broadcasting is provided by religious organizations with the financial means to maintain high-powered shortwave transmitters or buy time on them. We don't object to religious broadcasting. However, relaxing the minimum power level requirement could contribute to a wider diversity of content on U.S. shortwave stations. Solar conditions, the need for frequency coordination, the prohibition on domestic HF programming, and other obsolete FCC rules may also contribute to the limited growth of private HF stations. Perhaps if the rules were updated, more would be encouraged to enter the business and try out new types of programs and technologies. The FCC did not define data casting, but the apparent limitation to DRM might inhibit the growth of content such as radiogram. The FCC should clarify that digital broadcast via AM audio is a type of permitted data casting on shortwave. Concerning World of Radio scheduling, Alan Gale, Ivo Ivanov, and I conclude that Hamburger Local Radio must have been completely off the air last weekend, September 22nd and 23rd. We hope they're back from now on for the three scheduled broadcasts of World of Radio, Saturday at 06:30 and 14:30 on 6190, and Sunday 10:30 on 9485. Last Saturday evening, or UT Sunday, September 24th, our broadcast via WA0RCR, 1860 AM in Missouri, started much earlier than the nominal time of 0315 UT, so it's a good idea to tune in at least 15 minutes early, around 0300. It all depends on the variable length of many other programs preceding ours. I was pleased to find World of Radio on an additional unscheduled frequency from WRMI. The Sunday 2130 UT broadcast on September 23rd, not only on 7780, but 9955. We hope that will continue. Bible readings in a number of unexpected languages, such as Tagalog, have popped up at various times on WRMI, not yet appearing on their published schedule. These appear to be coming from something called Alameda Bible Fellowship in California, which provides free podcasts of Bible readings in a number of different languages, which they say are free. Some of them, especially in English, are obviously synthetic voices. Their website, however, is www.searchinghisword.com. John Carver and I glean some more information from Alan Weiner Worldwide on WBCQ, September 22nd, about how the Superstation project is coming along. He said the Continental 420 DM transmitter had not yet arrived. It's undergoing tests at the factory, expected around November 1st, and then it would take another month to install. Work on the rotatable antenna is completed, that is the structure, but now under construction are the internal dipole antennas within it. Also, Allen said that he knew that he and the superstation were being investigated by the FBI. He said they were welcome to come to the station any time and look around, and that the superstation will not be on the air till spring in March or May. Also, the occasional program Dead Frog Radio would be back the following week, right after Allen Wiener Worldwide. That is UT Saturday, September 29th at 0100, at least on 7490. The weekend-only broadcasts of WWRB were back on the air. UT September 23rd and 24th after midnight on 5050. Extremely strong signal here, but unfortunately, they have been accompanied by some spurs, 5.75 kHz above and below. They cut on and off depending on the modulation. On September 24th, they were on the air much later than usual at 0243. In fact, there were additional spurs at twice that separation, one of them around 5038.4, just causing interference to Radio Havana, Cuba. Inside Radio, quoted by KUNM, said, "The test will be the fourth dry run of an infrastructure designed to allow a president to speak to the country in case of a national emergency, a simultaneous first-ever national test of the Wireless Emergency Alert, or WEA, sending an 87-character test message to displayed on mobile handsets. It was originally scheduled for September 20th, but Don Hosmer points out it was postponed until Wednesday, October 3rd, due to the hurricane situation. It starts at 1818 UT. I note that past tests have had serious problems. The EAS portion will presumably attempt to interrupt all radio, television, and cable casts. Some stations far down the relay link chain would sound horrible or unintelligible with multiple echoing." ZNBC in Zambia is being reported by Andy Robbins in Michigan, September 21st at 0239 on 5915, a 1 kHz test tone, but at 0247 into their unmistakable and delightful Fish Eagle interval signal. He says a reasonably fair signal level, but really struggling with slop from WHRI 5920. Also heard by Ron Howard in California. He says it was September 19th at 0343 to 0522 in vernacular. At 0459, they again play the call of the Fish Eagle and into almost readable news, sports, and weather in English. There was a break in transmission, by the way, for 2 minutes at 0503. Robert Wilson points out you can also hear their live streaming at www.znbc.co.zm. The audio quality is excellent, and he says, "I find the quality of Radio Zambia's broadcast generally good and entertaining, despite the small budget they must have." The propagation outlook from Boulder. Geomagnetic storms at the G1 level are expected October 7th, 8th, 10th, and 19th, and a G2 possible storm level on October 8th. ANK indices peaking at 12 and 4 October 2nd, 35 and 6 October 8th, and 25 and 5 October 19th. Solar flux peaking at 70 from October 2nd to 10th, only 68 before and after. And that's World of Radio 1949. Glenn Hauser, hoping you've enjoyed the program, and will make a point of hearing me again next week.